When Jesus said, "It is finished," he was proclaiming victory from a place of apparent defeat, dying on a Roman cross. He paid the penalty for the sin of mankind, and we who believe can stand before God forgiven, our debt canceled thanks to him. Redemption began in the mind of God. It found its completion on a hill outside Jerusalem. Please stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer is in a series on Cries from the Cross, a journey into the heart of Jesus. Today we consider why the sixth of the seven cries, "It is finished," is our answer to Satan's accusations.
How do you handle the accusations? So the average person continues to commit the same sin because he says, "I've blown it anyway, and there's no use standing up." Do you look into your life and say, "Well, God, I'm not as bad as this shame within my heart would lead others to believe, because after all, I did do some good things"? Or do you try to say to yourself, "Okay, it is bad, but on the other hand, I also want you to know that in my own heart of hearts, I really do desire you"? Listen, if you talk to the devil like that, he will have you for lunch. He'll have you for lunch. You must always talk to him by saying, "Tetelestai, it is finished." What happened at the cross? What is involved in the "it"? Jesus said, "The suffering, my suffering is over." He's saying, "Your redemption is complete." And then he says, "The defeat of Satan has already happened." It's already a done deal. How do we bring this down? Let me give you three important lessons. First of all, I want you to know that the issue is not the greatness of your sin, but the worth of the sacrifice. The issue is not the greatness of your sin. It is the worth of the sacrifice. I remember in my short life meeting people who told me that they could not be forgiven because there were things in their life that were so terrible that if I knew them, I would agree with them that they could not be forgiven. Even in this audience today, there could be people that if the truth were known, you've committed crimes, you've done evil, you've deceived, and you say to yourself, "It isn't for me." But I want you to know today that while it's much better to live a good life than to live a bad life, that the real issue, so far as God is concerned, is not the greatness of the sin. The real issue is the wonder of the completeness of the sacrifice and the one who on the cross said, "It is completed. It's done. The sacrifice has been made." You remember that old line that frequently is asked Christians? This is a common question that people... I get this frequently when I explain the gospel to people. They'll always say something like this: "Do you mean to tell me..." Notice how the question begins, because obviously they're headed for a very specific target. "Do you mean to tell me that there could be somebody out there who murders others, and because he believes on Jesus in his deathbed, on his deathbed, he gets to go to heaven, whereas a good, sane, decent person who's never done any of those things goes to hell?" That's the way the question is asked, and it's usually approximately in that tone, though not quite as loud. The whole point is to make the gospel appear ridiculous. I mean, that's stupid. But I want you to know today that the answer is yes, but I need to explain why the answer is yes. God says, "I think so much of what Jesus Christ did on the cross that I can even forgive a murderer if he believes in him, but I cannot forgive a good, sane, tax-paying, decent citizen who doesn't believe on him." That's the wonder of the sacrifice. This society of ours needs to hear what I'm going to say next. Of course, they need to hear everything I've said so far, I think. It's a humble opinion. Whenever you add to "it is finished," you subtract from it. If you take the word "love" and you say, "Well, you know, I like the word love, but I'd like to add a letter," you get something else. It's no longer love. The minute you begin to say that I need to contribute towards it, I need to get my life straightened up so that I'm worthy of grace, you do not then understand grace. Grace accepts you as you are if you are willing to transfer all of your trust to Jesus and accept what He did on the cross. Tetelestai, it is finished. Second lesson. And this gets difficult now. I don't like to preach about these things any more than you like to hear me preach about them. But those who pay for their own sin will never be able to say, "Tetelestai, it is finished." You see, even if you do not accept Christ as Savior and you say, "I'm going to bear my own sin," and I remember talking to somebody who said, "I'm going to stand before God on the basis of my own record. I will not accept the record of somebody else. I will not accept Jesus. I'm willing to stand there on your own record." And you will suffer eternally, and in 100 million years you still will not be able to say, "It is finished." It will never be finished for you. Never, never be finished. Because Jesus suffered in a few hours of time what all of the eternities of hell can never owe to a holy God. Here's a final lesson. That is, of course, that the need to accept Jesus Christ is urgent. Now, I'm going to tell you about some of my pet peeves at this point as to how the gospel is sometimes presented by very well-known and very well-meaning people. Sometimes you hear people to say, "Yeah, you should get saved." Everybody awake now. "You should commit yourself to Christ." I think that kind of terminology confuses the issue. What am I supposed to do to commit myself to Christ? I know that Paul says he was committed to Christ and I'm committed to Christ and I hope you are, but that's confusing terminology. We don't come to the cross to commit ourselves. When we're talking about salvation, we don't come to give anything. We come to receive. I like much better the words of the hymn, "Nothing in my hand I bring, but simply to thy cross I cling." Now that's getting closer to the essence of the gospel. Or sometimes you hear people saying, "You should make," and they're speaking to non-Christians now, "you should make a promise to follow Christ." Oh my, follow Christ. What's following Christ? And furthermore, I follow Him today and I fail tomorrow. Where does that leave me? I like this terminology. Best way I know how to put it, and if you can improve on it, you come and tell me later how you would have used a better term. That what we must do is to accept Christ as our sin bearer. We must accept Him as the one who died for sinners and say that He died in my place, receiving the judgment that I should have received, and I accept that and embrace it because I'm a miserable sinner who cannot save myself. This past week I was listening to somebody who was talking about an eccentric preacher. I suppose some like that exist, don't they? Eccentric preachers? Who would get a crowd by taking his umbrella, pushing it into the mud, walking around it long enough until a crowd gathered. I'd say that's eccentric. But when he was doing this, a young man shouted out in sort of a sarcastic way, "What must I do to be saved?" And the preacher said to him, "It's too late." He said, "You mean I can't be saved?" The preacher said, "I didn't say that. But according to your question, what must you do to be saved? It's too late." Well, as you know, the point that he was trying to make is simply this, that it is done. It is finished. But what you and I must do is to transfer our trust to Christ and say, He is mine. And when you do that, you not only are saved, but you have the assurance of salvation, because you know that what Jesus Christ did on the cross is sufficient for you, and that He died and His payment was accepted by the Father on your behalf, and thereby your assurance rests. I conclude with a personal word from my own heart. As best as I know my sinful heart, I would like to trust Christ so completely and so entirely that if when I get to heaven, God says, trust in Christ is not enough, you also had to bring something else, I'd be damned forever. Because all of my faith was in Christ alone. And I don't believe that God is going to require anything else. And I'll tell you why. Tetelestai, paid in full. No wonder we sing, lifted up was He to die. It is finished, was His cry. Now in heaven exalted high. Hallelujah, what a Savior. There is none like Him. And this is Pastor Lutzer, and there is none like Him. I'm speaking to you today. You've never trusted Christ as Savior. Maybe you think as a child you prayed a prayer in Sunday school, or maybe you prayed a prayer in the midst of a difficult situation, but you have no assurance that if you were to die today, you'd be in God's presence. You've never received that gift of eternal life. Would you at this moment pray? If you're driving a car, you can pull it off to the side of the road. If you're sitting in your home, you can bow your head. Wherever you are today, would you take this moment and say, Jesus, today I trust You so completely that if God requires something else, I will be lost, because I trust only Christ. I trust nothing else. Not rituals, not baptism, not my own goodness, not my own attempts at reform. I trust Jesus alone. And if you receive Him, He gives you the authority to become the children of God, as the Bible says. Would you do that? And then, would you let us know about it? We'd be delighted to hear from you today.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer, concluding A Cry of Victory, another in an 8-part series of messages on Cries from the Cross, a journey into the heart of Jesus. Tomorrow, the 7th and last Cry from the Cross, A Cry of Submission. Father, into Thy hands I commit my spirit. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. Cries from the Cross is also a challenging book by Dr. Lutzer, a book we'd like to send as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us for tomorrow's Running to Win.